Welcome to the Harmony Pittsburgh Baptist Association Leadership Podcast, a podcast designed to encourage pastors, to equip leaders, and to engage the community with the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Jeremy Randolph. Welcome back. This is the fourth episode of the fourth season of our podcast. Today, Dr. Zach Tunnell will be working through the next chapter of our book, Misled, What About Prophets and Prophecy? Again, Dr. Zach Tunnell, pastor of Lake Fork Baptist Church, will be bringing the message today.
All right. Well, good morning. Glad to see you today. My name is Zach Tunnell. I serve at Lake Fork Baptist Church. Glad to get to be with you today. Just a couple quick words as we get back going and considering chapter 4. Like many have been the past couple weeks, I've been under the weather. And so I expect after probably about 8 to 10 minutes of projecting the voice that it's going to tank. If that happens, have no fear. I have prepared a series of interpretive movements, Brother Cliff, that will help us get the rest of the way through the teaching material. So your prayers that doesn't have to happen would be extremely appreciated. Chapter 4 is asking the question, what about prophets and prophecy? You know, nobody said it at this point, but we've been following the life of a somewhat quasi-physical or a quasi-fictional character named Jaron. Did I get his name right? Listen, I'm just going to say it. Jaron has made some really poor choices through these first four chapters. He does not have a good track record. He ain't done. Yeah, I have a feeling his credit score would probably match his church score with all of this. He just isn't on a right track. And you want to give him some credit because, right, he wants to be in the right place, but he's just not accepting the right invitations. And I think that immediately speaks a word to us to be extremely careful about who it is that you allow to speak into your life. No matter what age or stage we are in, be extremely careful about the invitations which you accept. So this one, we're looking at prophecy and prophets, and Parr, the author, gives us a couple of words about the way of the book. Now, I apologize. I do not have footnotes. I don't have the page numbers marked because I used my Kindle to do this. So we didn't actually get to do it, but you can read the chapter and find where this is at. But listen to what Parr says. He says, in speaking about the harm caused by false prophets, he says, a self-proclaimed prophet speaks a prophetic word over someone's life or over different people in a group setting. Those to whom the word applies assume it is from God based on the authority the prophet claims and the charisma with which the word is delivered. He later says, the focus of chapter 4 is this, because so many have been misled by an incorrect or incomplete understanding of prophecy, this chapter will focus on clearing up the confusion and providing a balanced and biblical view of this spiritual gift. And I think that is an admirable aim to have, a balanced and biblical view concerning prophecy. Now, one of the things that Parr does, I think he does an excellent job of, is describing and discussing the difference of prophets between the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. He makes the note that in the Old Testament, there were two distinct offices that were considered. One was the office of priest. The second was the office of prophet. Now, Parr defines the office of priest as saying a priest spoke to God on behalf of the people. I really think there's a better way to present that. I think the better way to present describing the office of priest is to say that a priest represented the people to God. Because if you say a priest has the authority to speak to God on behalf of someone else, then you're giving authority to the priest rather than authority to God. But if you say that a priest represents the people to God, then you realize that he is included with the other people in being an ineligible individual to come before God if it were not for the grace of God. In fact, we see even that imagery that's brought about with the priestly garments or the ephod that was worn whenever sacrifices were made. There would be jewels on the shoulders and on the breastplate. And all of this reminded God of his promise to the people. So there's always a reminder that's coming about, and the priest is representing God or representing the people to God. A prophet, however, Parr says, spoke to the people on behalf of God. Spoke to the people on behalf of God. Now, I still think that idea of being a representative is in play, but we realize now that when a prophet is speaking, a prophet is really only prophesying if he's speaking, right? So we understand that there has to be a word that's coming out of the prophet's mouth. Listen to some of the primary functions of the Old Testament prophet that Parr points out. First of all, he says that the Old Testament prophet exposed the sinful practices of the people. He would call out idolatry, that is, false living and false worship, false hope and false faith. He would cry out over injustice and oppression of the poor. He would be the one that would say, you're not being hospitable, you're not truly treating the poor among you correctly. And all of this crying out was not based upon the prophet's own thoughts or hopes or wants or wishes, but is actually based upon God's law, his expectation of how it is that the Israelites were to treat one another. A prophet would call out oftentimes the sexual immorality of the people. This would be most often tied to the idolatry that they were practicing and the road which they began to go down as they sought to do what was right in their eyes rather than following what was right in God's eyes. Another important function of an Old Testament prophet was that he would call people to repentance. Call people to repentance. Listen, even today, it does absolutely no good to tell somebody how they're wrong if you never extend to them an invitation to do what's right. So we want to have these two paired together. Always call to repentance. Listen to what Parr writes. He says, the main focus was the spiritual condition of the people, not their physical or material condition. What God is concerned about is the spiritual condition. I'm so grateful, like we talked about earlier today, that Jesus Christ didn't die to make me rich in this earth. He died to save me. And I experience the richness of the kingdom of heaven because of the one who was sacrificed, who was buried, and who on the third day rose again. I'm grateful for that, and we are called to enjoy that fullness for all of eternity. Something else that the prophet did is he warned people of impending danger. Take a trip with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. We won't get tied down in this too much, but I think too many times we kind of begin to romanticize prophets, right? We think, well, I want to be the one that's standing up, and I want to be the one that's hollering. I want to be the one that has that great charisma that others will respond to, so they'll hear my voice and that they'll respond to what I'm saying, so they'll benefit me. But God actually paints a different picture for prophets. We see Isaiah, we see Jeremiah, we see other prophets who actually are imprisoned, beaten, rejected, scolded, told, go back to your own place and leave us alone. One example of this is found in Ezekiel chapter 3. Just reading a portion of this, we'll start in chapter 3, verse 8. I'll start in verse 7. You talked me into it. It says, but the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Now, listen to that for just a second. This is the Lord God speaking to his prophet Ezekiel about his own people. And he's telling Ezekiel, look, I'm going to send you, but they are not going to listen to you because they have a hard head and a hard heart. So expect them to receive you in the same way that they receive me. But then I really like what he follows up with there in verse 8. Behold, because of this, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. You know, obedience often looks like stubbornness to those who have not received the call. And Ezekiel had received the call to prophesy to the people. And so God said, I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to give you a hard head so you'll just keep on going out there and declaring the truth that needs to be proclaimed. Skipping down to chapter 3, verse 16 in Ezekiel. It says, at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And this goes on, but what we understand here is the prophet was expected to speak, whether or not the people would receive it, and not dependent upon how they would respond. Whether or not the people would repent and turn, that wasn't up to the prophet. What the prophet was called to do was proclaim the word of the Lord to others. And I think a really solid statement that Parr makes about the Old Testament prophet is this. In the Old Testament, prophets were not only expected to be accurate, but to be specific. So many times when we have these prophets that are standing up and proclaiming their own word to others, they're just speaking in generalizations to others. Like, I believe that there is someone in this room today who is sorely, sorely disappointed. You are crushed. You are defeated. You are down. And part of why you're defeated and down is because you don't have footnotes on this piece of paper. But I believe that you're going to be delivered from your disappointment because you're going to put in the work. And you're going to read the book, and you're going to look for the quotes, and you're going to write down the right footnote and the right page number, and your disappointment, it'll be gone. Well, that's a general statement. That might affect more than one person in here. It's not really accurate, though, because it doesn't actually tell you what's wrong in your life and what to do to turn to God to fix it, which includes repentance. So that's the Old Testament prophecies. Prophecy in the New Testament, Parr holds the position, he says, that prophecy still exists in New Testament times. He says he's not a cessationist. I agree with that. I'm not a cessationist either. I think some may be, and that's perfectly fine. But I do still believe that prophecy exists. But I do think we need to differentiate what exactly that prophecy is and what it looks like. And Parr talks about this. He says, is prophecy considered a new revelation or the explaining of an existing revelation? Are we talking about a foretelling or a foretelling? A foretelling is saying this is going to happen in your life. A foretelling is looking at what God has promised, what God has done, God's character, and saying this is what God is saying to you today. There is very much the prophetic role of foretelling today. In fact, those of us who are pastors and preachers in this room, we ought to be exercising that gift every single Sunday and every single Wednesday and every time we teach. We are telling others, this is what the Lord God says. This is how we are to respond. Prophecy is often associated with the gift of teaching. No matter if you're prophesying, preaching, or you're teaching, what you're doing is you're finding this as your subject matter. You're not looking for some other self-help book. You're not looking for your own thoughts or your own experiences to share. You're looking to rightly divide the word of truth to others. Prophecy is proclaiming the word of God boldly. And when the word of God is boldly proclaimed, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is built up. And the building up of the church leads to conviction of sin, to repentance, and to submission to God's word and God's way. And so we see prophecy being used to instruct and encourage others. So there's a good question to ask. How do we know if someone is a prophet? Now we ask this question and answer it primarily from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 18. You're probably familiar with this passage, but there is a good test that you can use to find out if someone actually is a prophet or not. does what they prophesied come true? Does it come true? Now, where we struggle with this and where our friend Jaron in this book struggled is so much of the faith, like has already been talked about, so much of the responsibility is placed upon the individual. Do you have the faith to receive the word? Do you have the faith to take the next step? Do you have the faith to do this, this, and this? But listen, as was so wonderfully said earlier, it ain't about you. It's about God. And so we realize that God is the one who is at work in our lives and in His church. And He's always working to honor and glorify Himself. And so if a prophet tries to speak a word about your life and that doesn't come true, then what you see is one of two things. Either I've failed or God's failed. Well, I don't know about you, but I often don't like to think that I've ever failed at anything. So I'll just pass the buck on to someone else. And all of a sudden we have a twisted and a perverted understanding of the holiness and the righteousness of God. So how can we today really test a prophetic word? Because really, in the New Testament, what we are seeing is the prophetic word is tied not necessarily to that foretelling, but to the forthtelling. It's always tied to God's word. How can we really test a prophetic word today? Well, Parr gives a few things here. He gives five. He says, first of all, receive it, but do not always believe it. He talks in 1 Thessalonians where Paul writes about listening to these prophecies and not quenching the Spirit. He says, be aware of vague and general prophecies. He says, Scripture must always be the ultimate authority. Share the prophecy with trusted spiritual leaders and ask God to confirm the prophecy. I'd really kind of take a step back from where Parr is going, and I'd say this. Don't worry about the prophecy, worry about the word, with a capital W. Listen to God's word. Sit in a church, be a part of a church, lead a church that proclaims the word of God. That's what we need in our churches, and that's what I need in my life. Don't get caught up on one little thing, but be content to have a well-rounded diet of God's word in your life. Focus in on it. So I think there's some good questions to consider regarding prophecy. These aren't from Parr. These are from me. Because you're going to be asked, well, what about this prophetic word? And people get excited about it, right? They get excited if someone speaks something in their life that they want to hear. And that really encourages them, especially if they're struggling. That they welcome others to encourage them. So how can we encourage others to think correctly about prophecy? Well, here's some questions. First of all, can I speak prophetically into someone's life? Sure. As long as it aligns with God's word. As long as it aligns with God's word. I can absolutely speak prophetically into your life. I can tell you that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, that God wants a relationship with you, and that He's provided the way for that relationship through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. I can speak that prophetically into your life because the Bible tells me that. That's the type of prophetic speaking that I need to be giving. Something else we can do is we can encourage one another to test the spirits. John writes this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. He says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. We can speak prophetically into one another's lives and say, you need to test the word that you're hearing. If the word that you're hearing teaches you or tells you that you're able to save yourself or help yourself or do anything good for yourself, you need to consider the source. You need to consider whether or not that same person is saying that Jesus is the only Savior. You can test the spirits not just by looking there in 1 John 4, but also by doing these things, by being regularly involved in a local church. and be wise and discerning about the local church of which you are a part. This is where the character in our story has really struggled. He just hasn't made good decisions. You say, well, how are people supposed to know until they go? Maybe these next two kind of feed into that. Be regularly engaged in God's Word. I promise you, God's Spirit will let you know if you are sitting under true teaching or false teaching. He knows it. He knows it. And then pray. Say, God, is this a place where you'd have me be a part? And don't try to say, I'm going to go in and I'm going to fix all their wrong teaching and all their wrong doctrines. You're not the Savior. Jesus is. Okay? Go and be a part to learn and grow based upon God's Word. Then third, what's the aim of prophecy? Is the aim of prophecy, and we should encourage people to ask this, what's the aim of prophecy? Is it to promote the prophet or to call others to repentance and righteous living? If the prophecy is meant to, or the word is meant to promote the prophet, the one speaking it, it's got the wrong focus. But if it's calling others to repentance and righteous living, and God is concerned with how we live, then it's a word worth receiving. Also in this, what's the aim of prophecy? Realize this. The end of prophecy will declare to you its beginning. The end of the prophecy will declare to you its beginning. If the purpose of prophecy is ultimately to honor God, then it will have originated from God. If the end of the prophecy is ultimately to honor man, then it will have originated from man. My flesh does not want to honor God, but God's Spirit dwelling within me does. So how do I know where the prophecy has begun? I look at its ending. So be wise in the counsel that you give, and be intentional with the word which you proclaim.
That's going to bring this episode of the podcast to a close. We want to thank you for listening. If you have questions or want to know more about the broader work of our churches that make up the Harmony Pittsburgh Baptist Association, you can visit our website at www.harmonypittsburgh.com, or you can contact us here by emailing Jeremy, that's J-E-R-E-M-Y, at harmonypittsburgh.com. Once again, we thank you for listening. And we'll catch you on the next episode of the Harmony Pittsburgh Baptist Association Leadership Podcast.